A scripture for the morning is from 1 Corinthians 12. Hear now the word. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. In our staff planning meeting for the year, our focus was on how each of us could find our place on the journey. We kept coming back to the spiritual gift passages in the Bible where God empowers God's people with gifts, one of which we just read in 1 Corinthians 12. The other is in Romans 12. So we decided to preach on 1 Corinthians at the beginning of the year and Romans 12 at the end of the year. The fact that these significant scriptures are both surprisingly in chapter 12 may just be a coincidence. I'm guessing so, though I've been wrong before. However, the use of the number 12 throughout the Bible is generally not at all a coincidence. In the Old Testament, there were 12 tribes of Israel. These 12 tribes made up God's special community in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the intentional use of the number 12 continues in several ways, but most notably, the Gospels suggest that Jesus selects 12 disciples to join him in this special community of God. As we speak of the power of 12, what's really being said is that there's power in the community of God. Sometimes preachers may want to meander in certain areas, linger so as to let the point sink in, and other times we may want to get to the point. Paul may meander sometimes, our author of our scripture today, but in 1 Corinthians 12, he wants to get to the point. Now, he says, down to business, he seems to say. I don't want you to be uninformed, he says. As for my take on it, I may meander here and there, but now I want to say clearly that the essential message I get here in 1 Corinthians is that each of you is gifted. To be gifted by the Spirit is not something that happens to some believers and not others. Everyone is gifted by the same Spirit, Paul says. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, what you've done, nobody can claim to be deprived of the Spirit or to not be gifted. Every one of us is gifted. The second thing I want to make sure I'm clear about is that the gifts we are given are meant to be used. There's strings attached. We're called to use our gifts for God's purposes, much like dusty old Christmas presents lost or forgotten in the attic. The gifts we're given are useless if they're left unused. We may first need to discover how exactly we're gifted, but the second step is to use those gifts for God's purposes. Disciples of Christ preacher Fred Craddock went to preach at a church somewhere down south, and after the service, he was invited to follow them out to an old farmer's property and read a scripture and pray because they were going to be having a baptism. Someone got a fire going, and then about a dozen or so men lined up in a little circle in the pond surrounding the man getting baptized. The preacher thought it was pretty neat that so many people joined him in the water, but asked the lady why they were doing that, because that's not normally a Christian custom. She responded, "Well, there's alligators in that swamp. They're lining up to create a sort of barrier around the baptism." She added, "It adds to the seriousness of the matter, doesn't it? There's power in community. We need each other." So the man was baptized, and they all made it safely out of the water. And then they gathered around the fire to keep warm and dry off. Then, as was the custom of this particular church, they went around introducing themselves. "My name is," and if you ever need someone to fix your car, "my name is," and if you ever need a warm meal, "my name is," and if you ever need to cut your grass. On and around they went until the newly baptized man knew for certain there's something special about the church. There's power in God's community. The Spirit of God is sort of like a spiritual inventory taker. The Spirit provides the gifts of God in each of you, doing so according to the needs of the community. So the idea is that there's a spiritual job that is waiting for just you, only you to do, because you are uniquely gifted. Someone may be waiting for you and your specific gifts. When I was graduating high school, we had like 8 valedictorians. I had an okay GPA, but we had 8 people with perfect grades. Perfect grades wasn't going to be my gift, I guess. But during their valedictorian speech, they took it upon themselves to give out special titles to several of our classmates. You've seen it done in high school yearbooks, I'm sure. Most likely to succeed, class clown. Somebody got most likely to never move away. I got worst driver. I deserved it, but it's not the kind of gift you love to get. I think that each of us is kind of individually like a puzzle piece. We each are unique and gifted to make up a beautiful picture when it all comes together. I'm sure most of you have done puzzles where you get almost all the way finished and there's one or two or more pieces missing. You can kind of make out the picture is starting to look the way it should, but imagine how beautiful it would be if all the pieces were in place. Pastor Lillian Daniel tells a story about being stuck on a plane and the person next to her asks what she does for a living, and so she reluctantly responds that she's a pastor. And she's found that these people often feel compelled to tell her that they're spiritual but not religious. Over and over, she's found that people want to tell her that they prefer to find God by themselves, in the oceans or in the sunsets. Individualism isn't a new problem we have today, though I'm sure our cell phones haven't helped. But Paul is preaching to the Corinthians about their own struggles with individualism and unity. Pastor Daniel says she just wants to respond to these sunset people. Of course you find God in the sunsets, that's easy. But try looking for God in the church, among people like me and others who are just as difficult as me. It's in the church that we can really grow in our spiritual lives. Among people who don't think, talk, or act exactly like us. That's the difficult part, but also part of its beauty. The opposite problem, though just as much of a problem, is those who are religious but not spiritual. That sadly exists in churches sometimes. But the church that's alive is alive, not because of our building or our religious traditions, but because of the Spirit of God working in people. It's when each of us in the church listens to the Spirit and uses our God-given gifts that people can really see what's so special about the church. In a certain mountain village in Europe, several centuries ago, a nobleman wondered what legacy he could leave to his townspeople. Finally, he decided to build a church for a legacy. The complete plans for the church were kept secret. When the people gathered, they marveled at the church's beauty and completeness. Following many comments of praise, a townsperson asked, "But where are the lamps? How will the church be lit?" Without answer, the nobleman pointed to some brackets on the wall. He then gave to each family a lamp to be carried to the worship service and hung on the wall. "Each time you are here, the area where you are seated will be lit," the nobleman explained. "Each time you are away, the area will be dark, awaiting your light." Everyone has a light that helps to keep the community of faith shining brightly. God needs our individual gifts in order to be the church in the world. The more we let our lights shine, the more the world can see the beautiful picture that's being put together. There was a woman who had sort of fallen away from the church. She had sung in the choir, had a beautiful soprano voice, but lately life seemed to be getting in the way. People saw her at the store downtown and said things like, "We really miss you at church, and ever since you've been gone, the sopranos have not been up to par." "We've been meaning to get back," she'd say. That next summer, her husband died too soon, and she found herself a little lost and lonely, wondering how she could keep up with things around the house. Not too long after that, she'd hear a knock on the door. A lady standing with a warm meal. "Just get me the dish when you can," she said. Then another knock and another knock, and before too long, her fridge was full of food, enough to feed the whole block. She'd find her mailbox stuffed with cards. She'd find her grass neatly cut for weeks. She remembered, there's something special about the church. There's power in the community of God. The world awaits you and your gifts. Let us use our God-given gifts so that all may see a full and beautiful picture of God's church alive in this world. Amen.